Hi everybody, this is Bill Ward. Just checking in with you. Today's date is Saturday, the 17th of September. Today we did our radio show, and for those of you who want to check in, listen to the show, I think it's up on the website billward.com. It's up there somewhere. I think the information's up there. It's the first show that we did live since getting off the tour. But we did a dedication today to the people in New Orleans and Mississippi and throughout the area that got hit the hardest with the hurricane. And we did a 9/11 dedication as well. We always do. We always do that now. Our show always respects the. Always and will continue to always respect the 9/11 tradition of remembering those that fell and those that are still suffering. So I enjoyed the show today. We played a new. I haven't had a chance to catch up, because as you know, I've been on tour. So after we did the Black Sabbath anniversary, 35th anniversary. Announcements right at the very top of the show. We had In Flames and I think we had The Haunted do the they did the top of the show, wishing Sabbath a very happy anniversary. And I usually do that show. I always usually play three songs that were originally Black Sabbath songs but played by other artists, and today we had some really good had a really good version of oh man, I'm sorry, I'm just I got a head like cheese some days. Swiss cheese. let's say Electric Funeral. Do you think I'd know that? We've been playing it on stage for the last 4 months, 3.5 months, the Pantera did the version today, and it sounded really, really good. So, but we did the, we've been celebrating. I think I might be the only one actually that is celebrating the 35th anniversary of Black Sabbath in the United States. The band's been around a lot, somewhat longer than that, but it is 35 years since we came to America. So all of this year on our radio show, we've been playing Sabbath music, and every once in a while, trying to get a radio ID, from fellow musicians. They try to drop in a phone call and say, "Hey, happy anniversary," or things like that. So, but it was a pretty good show. I must be honest, it was really nice to come home and get back to a live show. I really enjoy doing my radio shows. It's Saturday morning, you kind of get up, and for those of you who have experienced this, and I'm sure there's a lot of you, but Saturdays when I was a kid was always traditionally music day, and we'd go to the music shops on a Saturday and look at the cost of everything and look at things that we couldn't afford, and so it was an exciting time, and doing the radio show on a Saturday morning reminds me a lot of when I was a kid. And I play everything pretty much across. I'm not most of the show that I play actually is mostly kind of hardcore metal, but I play classic hard rock as well. And I do go across the board. I'll play jazz. I'll play opera. I'll play all different kinds of music. As I said, the main, if I, 70% of the show is always usually hardcore metal, but I try to fit it in so that it complements, so the show is complementary to it, to the music, to the music's complementary to each other. So it was fun. I had a good day. I've had a really enjoyable day. doing the radio show is something that I'll probably want to keep doing for some time. I've got no reason to not want to do it. It's been a. I have to thank Mike Stark. Who's the producer and the host of that show, which is Rock 50. And I have to thank Mike because he's introduced me to a whole new world and has brought about for me a way of communicating differently with Sabbath fans and with a general audience. And also, I'm experiencing far more relationships with other musicians than perhaps I would have normally had before I started doing my radio show. So all in all, it's very beneficial for me, very healthy. And like I said, it reminds me of when I was a kid. Reminds me of those Saturdays a long time ago when we used to, go to the local cafe. And in my case, where I was born in Aston, and so we would go to a cafe on Lichfield Road, which runs all the way through Aston. And it was a cafe called Copus's Caff. The guy who owned it was a guy called Fred Copus, and we would go up there, and play the jukebox and put on Little Richard, Tutti Frutti, and Long Tall Sally, and the sound was just incredible, and we used to drink Coca-Cola, so wear blue jeans, that kind of stuff. It was totally cool, man, back in the day, and that's where I come from, rock and roll, and totally influenced when I was a kid. So we just got through, Lisa and I just got through doing some long overdue autographs for some of the people out there. We'll be sending them out to the people that have asked for pictures and stuff. And we still have some to go, and we did some emails as well. One of the we just well we did a few emails. Lisa showed me how many more emails I got left to do, so I'll probably be here till next year still. That's tough, man, returning the mail, writing back the email, because we encourage that, and we have such a lot of email, and it's like, man, you really have to take a lot of time out just to even make a dent in the amount of emails that we get, and I try to answer them, so but I will not be undaunting or daunting, is it? I don't know, but I'll continue to get as many emails done as I can. One of the emails was interesting, actually. It was brought back up to me because I caught some flack, this last year, on Ozfest, during War Pigs, we had a picture of George Bush up on the video screen. And a number of people have asked, why I, almost like was a turncoat, or because I objected to the George Bush image being up there in War Pigs, and no doubt Joe will post my answers or my answer on my site, because I finally wrote back to one guy that had written in, and it was a very nice letter that he wrote. It was somewhat political, but he was asking why, he didn't understand that, some of the things that I stand for, and it seemed like I'd done kind of an about-face turn, and there's an explanation which will be in the email of just why I was one of the people that said, we need to have this removed, or I would like to have this removed from this image of George Bush removed from the War Pigs video at the time. And normally I do tend to shut my mouth off, and I do tend to make a stand for certain things. Anyway, the explanation will be posted on my site in black and white, so that I hope that resolves it, because I know there's a few people that, I got called some names, and dickless and ballless, and I think there's one guy that thought I had no balls, and I'd like him to come and get in my face and say that to me, actually, because I'm a human being, and I get pissed off as well, so. I'm sure he was just pissed off, I can appreciate his point of view, but I got called a few names for that, just, and So anyway, finally, I hope that probably not the answer that everybody would like to hear, but it's the truth. So it'll be posted up there, and so we've just been doing emails. It's Saturday today, as I mentioned earlier, and last Sunday I heard the ocean for the first time. So I got home on Labor Day, which was Monday, and it took Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, however many days was that, was it? I wasn't counting. It was 6 days. And on Sunday night, it was kind of early in the morning, you know, I still haven't been able to get like back to a quote unquote normal sleep yet. But I heard the ocean. We live just, I mean, literally, you can step outside our front door here, and if you know, the boardwalk is about no more than 8 feet wide at the most, and then we're on the sand, so the ocean's just but a 30-second walk from our front porch. But I finally heard the ocean. I didn't. My ears, I guess, have been so tuned to the sound of aircraft and buses rolling through the night, and of course the ultimate being on stage all the time, or being on stage. I wouldn't say all the time, but being on stage, you know. So, and also air conditioners in the hotel rooms, they never stop. Thank God. God, you need AC, that's for sure. But I finally heard the ocean, and it sounded really, really good. And that tells me that my ears are kind of readjusting back to some kind of normalcy. I wish I could say the same thing about my body, because one of the things that I go through whenever I come off a tour is it's almost like I train up to go onto a tour, you know, and you kind of work through getting yourself acclimatized to go and play. You know, I know I'm going to go in and play hard, you know. And the same thing happens coming off the road as well. I do have a practice kit, and I'm gonna this week. I promised myself I'm gonna start to try and do some work with my practice kit to keep some chops up at least. You know, it's never quite the same as playing with the Sabs, but you know, at least better than nothing. And this week I tried to do some walking, and that didn't work out very well. You know, my walking partner and I, you know, we kind of couldn't find the window to go walking, and I need to improve on that coming up this week. It's like Monday, for instance, or even tomorrow, Sunday, because I need to start stretching. What's happening is my body is literally screaming at me, going, "Why aren't we playing? And why aren't we walking? And why aren't we exercising?" And it's true to say, you know, I mean, I know I usually give myself a few days off when we come off a tour, but it's time to start getting back into stretching and getting my legs flexible, and you know, working on my shoulders, and just getting some good long walks in. You know, before I left to go on tour in April, my partner and I, my walking partner and I, we were walking over 10 miles 3 times a week. And then the rest, we were doing 5 and 6 mile walks in between that. So we were at a really good stamina pace, and you know, dropping 100 press-ups on the walk, and you know, just to keep you know, toned up, if you like. So coming off the tour, I want to work my way back up into the 10 mile walks, and get some of that energy, that daily energy focused in. So. So that's an immediate goal. I was going to say something else regarding that, but I've forgotten where I was. So I've been listening to the ocean, like I said. It's still crazy for me sleeping in a bed that doesn't move right now, and you know, being able to go to the refrigerator at night. Although we have a refrigerator on our bus, we've got a bigger refrigerator at home. So what's been really nice is the fact that I get to see my family, obviously, which is like the number one thing, or the number one greatest thing. But the number two, not right behind that, really, really quickly behind that, I've been definitely catching up with eating some good food, because if I missed anything at all, it was eating like really good food on the road. And so I've been doing that this since I got home. And my wife makes incredible soups, and she's an incredible cook. And we've been out eating as well. So, little by little, I'm starting to put a few pounds on. So, another reason to go walking. Since getting home, I took a couple of days off, and I started work straight away on a song that's driving me absolutely crazy right now. It's a song that I want to put on Beyond Aston, the album that I'm trying to finish. And of course, it's the last song going on there, wouldn't you know? And I'm being incredibly perfectionist about it, and really listening to everything that I'm doing right now, and hating everything that I'm doing, and kind of shunning. Oops, that's my daughter leaving by the side door, where I happen to be sitting right now. A song that's driving me crazy, and I'm being really perfectionist about it. And the song is called "Where You Are Is Not Forever." It's copywritten, and gotta put that in, man. These days, with so much going on, you just gotta copyright everything and try and look after your own ass, I guess, as much as you can. But I'm just having so much trouble piecing the final pieces of this song together. And of course, I like to do these things. These things challenge me. I like to write these songs, by myself. I do collaborate also with the guys in the band. But this one, this one's become such a challenge now. It's like I intend to do this, whether it kills me or not. So a couple of days, like I said, after I got home, I wanted to start work on it, and I've been, doing it, every kind of spare hour that I've had, I've been working on doing the song. So we must put some oil on my daughter's bedroom door there. I wonder if that squeak came through. Well, I guess we'll find out when we put this on the internet. So I want to get that done, and I want to move along, make more progress with my album right now. Get some stick practice in, keep my legs flexible, get my Silent Tama drum kit set up, which is a great kit to put to work on. And it's silent because they're not proper heads, they're not proper drum heads, they're almost like tennis racket heads. And but it's great to practice and try to maintain some rhythms and so on and so forth. So it's about that right now. I guess people have been asking me, well, we're Sabbath's going to get back together, is Sabbath going to do this, or what's going to happen next? And I finally unpacked since the last time I spoke to you guys, and I think I finished unpacking. I think it was yesterday or the day before yesterday, and now I think the next thing is to become organized, in the sense of starting to make sure that I don't gain a whole lot of weight here, and doing my exercises and practicing drums, and trying to finish up what needs to be finished up with my music. I definitely have an open mind into whatever could take shape in the future. Of course, I would love it if a new Sabbath album could come about, but I don't know. I don't know how that would be at this time. But I'm going to keep an open mind and look at anything that might be either Sabbath related, or Tony related, or Geezer related, or Ozzy related. Anything that is out there that might be opportunistic. I want to, take a look at what the future might hold. It's always tough coming off a tour and having to stop. And I already miss, but not being on the road. I really miss it right now. And I've been really missing not being in Monmouth, which is where we usually start off, Monmouth in Wales. I've been thinking about Monmouth a lot lately. So, but I don't know what the future holds. And I guess maybe in the coming months we may know something. I heard some rumors that there might be some Sabbath dates in Canada, but I right now, as far as I know, those are just rumors. I mean, I don't know anything about this stuff. But if anybody else does know, maybe they could put me in the picture. But I guess my position is I'm just here with an open mind and ready to move forward. Because I really thoroughly enjoyed playing. I really enjoyed the tour, very much so. Since coming off the tour, Ozzy's called me 3 times, which is not unusual at all, and it's been really nice to hear his voice. This week I'm going to try and talk to Tony and check in with Tony, see how he is. And I got some friends coming into town this next week or so. I know Johnny from Typo. Johnny plays drums in Typo. He's coming into town, and I think we're going to try and fix up a really good show, radio show, for next month, because we've got, I think we have Soil Work, and we have The Haunted. No, we have The Haunted coming in. That's right, yeah, it is. Yeah, we have The Haunted coming into Los Angeles in October, I believe. And isn't it Soil Work in November? Yeah, and we got Soil Work coming in. So I didn't get to see Soil Work in on Ozfest, so I'm really hoping that I'm actually going to be in Southern California in November, at least to see Soil Work play. And I'm hoping to see The Haunted play as well when they come into town, and just say hi to the guys. Really nice bunch of guys, man. If you've never seen them play, you need to check them out. We played a track by The Haunted today on our show. It's called My Shadow. And it was Jensen that has suggested that we play that one. So Jensen, of course, plays in The Haunted. And I miss the guys from In Flames. I just miss them, period. We saw each other every day, you know. And we always would say hello and rap and what have you. So I really miss those guys a lot, you know. So anyway, I think that's it for now. I guess it's. I was going to say it's nice to be home. I'm getting home. I'm not like really feeling like I'm at home yet, but I'm definitely getting there. And I haven't been thrown out yet by the wife, so that's a good thing. When I first arrived, I didn't quite know, you know, where to. I didn't quite know where to. You know, with my wife and my daughter here, they have their all their routines and everything. And when I first arrived, I actually kept my luggage close to me. Just like I would on an aircraft, you know. It's like, that's how it is, man. You know, when you're just getting in, at least it is for me when I'm coming in off a tour, you know, 4 months or thereabouts from home. Everything has been going really well, you know. My wife, you know, is totally supportive, all the time. She's fantastic, and she's you know, very patient with me. There's still little bits and pieces of things lying on the floor from the luggage, and you know, there's a trail of stuff still floating around in the hallway, and you know, and I'm gradually been cleaning everything up as I've been going along. And she's actually very patient with me. She knows what I go through when I first come home, you know. And the oh, I know what I wanted to talk about. There's one thing. Yeah, I knew there was something missing. What happens is every couple of days, My buddy, he's wondering why we're not playing a gig, you know, because nobody's told it yet that he's not playing. And so I have these incredible physical energy surges about around about 8:30 every night, and that's really tough to deal with. They're diminishing somewhat now, but when I first got home, my legs would start actually aching, and you know, just different twitches and things like that. Sound like a crazy man, but it was almost like, you know, oh, it's time to go on stage now. And eventually that kind of body clock, physical clock, wears down back into a normal, or what I call a normal sense of being. But at first, you know, when you're coming off this very disciplined, somewhat organized tour, and getting used to that daily routine of hotels and then concert and hotels and travel, and then coming back home into this almost pillow-like situation, a very soft situation. It's like a railroad train, you know, crashing into a pillow, I think, sometimes. And you know, and but that's I think it's important that you have strong people in your life who are able to understand that you're coming off the road, and that you know, it's going to take a while to kind of come around and be kind of semi-normal. And so my wife is incredible at giving me a lot of space, and knowing that I'm still crashing off the tour, and which is incredibly important to do. That's why I was joking about I haven't been kicked out yet, you know. You know, I feel, I always feel this, and I've felt like this for a long time. I always feel intrusive there to the home whenever I first get home, because I'm lugging luggage and bags and all my chaotic self into the house. And when I first got home, the house was absolutely pristine and organized and running smoothly. And then, you know, then I'm back. So, and I think the same can be said for a number of musicians when it comes to this, what I'm speaking of right now. So, but I'm settling in, and it's definitely nice to be back home. And I guess that's about it. You know, we did today. We did on the radio show. We did a little tribute, five songs, I think it was, a four-song tribute to the folks down in Louisiana, New Orleans, Mississippi. We played Malaya Jackson and Howlin' Wolf, who was born in Mississippi. Malaya Jackson, actually, I believe she was born in New Orleans. And we played Mississippi John Hurt, born in Mississippi. And we played Fats as well, Fats Domino. I've always loved that song since I was a kid, walking to New Orleans. And we decided to play it today. And to be honest with you, when I wanted to play it, and I first played it just the other day, I hadn't heard the song, you know, for a little while. And I listened to some of Fats' lyrics, and I thought, oh my God, you know, maybe we ought not to play this, you know. Maybe it might not be a particularly nice song to play, you know. I'm walking to New Orleans, I've got my suitcase in my hand, you know. And that's very much, you know, the situation right now, of course, in New Orleans, but and in other areas too. And then I thought, you know, this song was written a long, long time ago, and what I was trying to stress was the strength of the music and the strength of the people, both black and white, in these very credible areas of the United States. I personally love New Orleans. My wife and I, we love New Orleans. We visit there, and of course, a lot of my drumming upbringing has stemmed from when I was a child from New Orleans, syncopation of New Orleans. So I, you know, I mean, I owe personally a lot to that city, because of the instrumentation that was coming out of there in blues form, as I heard it in the 1930s and 1940s music, and way before that too. But we won. I just played only black artists for the tribute, and like I said, they were all. We played Malaya Jackson, New Orleans, Mississippi John Hurt, come from Mississippi. I forget the town that Mississippi John Hurt was born in. Howling Wolf. He was born right across. Howling Wolf. I was born between two cities, actually, and I joke with my wife. I wasn't sure whether he was born in a car or whether he was on the road somewhere. So nobody knows exactly where Howling Wolf was born, but he was born between two cities there, and I don't know the names of the cities offhand. But that was of course from Mississippi, and oh man, oh we played the Eureka Brass Band. Those are the guys from the 50s that there was a brass band in New Orleans. There's several actually. They're the marching bands, the funeral bands. So we played a nice little quick sung little funeral thing from the Eureka Brass Band that played in the streets of New Orleans for the funerals, and they made quite a number of recordings in the late 1950s. So. And that was it, you know, and I felt good that we played Fats Domino Walking to New Orleans. You know, the guy was born in New Orleans. We didn't get to play Satchmo, who's also born in New Orleans, but you know, I try to say, you know, what a incredibly rich and strong, and I think the term that I used was like, the people are so full of guts and love, you know, the credibility and the strength of their music from all of that area, you know, again both black and white artists too, you know, the strength and the credibility of the richness of the music across the Mississippi Delta, some of the music which is indigenous to New Orleans itself and throughout Louisiana and you know, all across that region, there's so much strength and love. I think one only has to just listen to that, and the suffering in the music, and it's like it's so plain and obvious that just by listening to the history of the people. From this area, of the Gulf, and and also going northbound into the States from the Gulf, northeast and into the States, they obviously have an incredible strength, incredible vulnerability, but incredible strength. And so, I just think in those terms, and I just meditate on that for a second, and I have no doubt whatsoever that all that was ripped to pieces by God's will, if you like, will be ascended, and or by nature's will, God's will, whatever. But I have no doubt that it's going to be ascended, because the strength of the people. Speaks for itself. Very, very powerful, place for incredible artists and incredible music. And those things alone, I know you can't feed a mouth sometimes just by listening to a song, but you can sure as hell, you know, feel the rhythm and you can understand the pain, and by doing that, I think it opens up a lot where one can, you know, have the hope to move forward and through one's own one's own suffering. Anyway, God bless everybody down there, that's for sure. I'm going to be talking to Craig, who's Black Label Society's drummer pretty soon. Gonna try and catch up with him in a week or two, and I know that he's got some folks in New Orleans. He was very, very concerned about at the time, because we were on, as you know, we were on the road and we were all playing Ozzfest at the time when that hurricane came in. So anyway, my very best regards to him also. You know what? I think that's about it. We're going to finish up, and I'll check in again with you at some point soon. I wish everybody well, including the guy that said I ain't got no balls. That's it. I'm out of here. Take care. Thanks a lot, guys.